good with that arrangement there at the end. Pretty good. Let me turn myself on here. There we go. Pretty well.
Amen. Whoa. I'm here. All right. So, thanks, guys. Wonderful singing. Great time to praise the Lord. Great worship time. Thanks, AV team. Thanks, worship team. Man, Jesus, there's no other name. And can it not be said, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Can we actually say that? Amen. Can you say that in your heart? And a lot of times we don't feel like it, but that's a truth, right? Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, because God is that good and wonderful and gracious and merciful and holy, and just to be in his presence, oh Lord. We could sing that one all day long, and it's good to be here. Hey, hopefully, as Can said, hopefully the alarm won't go off during the sermon, but maybe if it's near the end of my sermon, it'll be a perfect time to cut my sermon, and there's great rejoicing, right? Yes. Come on, fire alarm, all right. And but hey, a lot of you came in a little bit late, so hey, just go say hi to the person sitting next to you. Greet someone you haven't greeted before, too. Just say hi, welcome to the church, and give yourselves about a minute. Got to come down to the stage, right? Yeah. All right. I'm going to join you guys today. Just get down in the seats, right? All right. Good to see you all. Yeah, and here we are, right? And as Cam prayed, right? Man, we started this series last week, and I said, look at all these hurricanes, earthquakes, and I said, Lord, just led me to Thessalonians. We're not doing the whole book of 1 Thessalonians, just jumping near the end, chapter 4, we're looking at, what happens to us? What happens when Jesus comes back? And death, how do we view death as Christians, right? And the end of 1 Thessalonians, we'll look at that, and then we'll go into 2 Thessalonians. But no sooner did I say that, I think it was, I didn't even read the news till Monday night, and this whole shooting happened Sunday night. And my wife turns to me and says, did you see the news about Las Vegas? And I was like, oh, wow, no, I didn't. What's going on? And just blown away, right? Oh, man, the curse of sin on our world, the evil. Man, we need Jesus, amen. Come quickly. Just bring justice, bring comfort to the brokenhearted. And boy, there's another hurricane, right? It's barreling down on a, has it made landfall yet in the Gulf? It has, yeah. And so, boy, Nate, oh, what a name, Nate, Hurricane Nate. If your name's Nathan, that's awesome, but. Oh, yeah, I forgot. There's a son out here named Nathan. Yeah. Hurricane Nate. Irma, Maria, they're all bad names this year, right? Go away. But, God's in control, and it's hard for us to see, and that's actually what this book is talking about, right? Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. He's writing to them in the city of Thessalonica there. As he started this church, he loves this church, and he says to them, we don't have to fear death. Sin and the curse of sin has enveloped this world, just as Can prayed, right? The whole world is groaning for the day of redemption, the day when Jesus comes back. It's like the earth is saying, when will Jesus come back? The impersonal earth itself is like, when will Jesus come back to make the new Garden of Eden, right? Where there's no more hurricanes, no more death, no more shooting, and oh, Jesus, come quickly. And Paul's writing to the church here in Thessalonica and telling him, don't freak out. If you know Christ as Savior, as Lord, he's the one who comforts us eternally. He's the one who forgives us of our sins before a holy God, that we're forgiven by Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and gave his life for us. And if Jesus comes back, which Jesus promised to set up his kingdom on this earth, to bring a rule of justice and grace and mercy, we don't have to fear that, because Jesus will transform our bodies, those of us who believe in him, will transform us to make us like himself, which is amazing, right? And it's just as Cam prayed too. No more pain, no more tears, no more suffering, right? Oh, we look forward to that day. And especially in times like these, wow, you just say, come quickly, Lord. And we yearn for that, right? And we looked at last week, chapter 4, we looked at verses 13 through 18. And the church was concerned about, well, we have brothers and sisters who passed away, who believed in Jesus, but they passed away, right? They're in the grave. Like, what happens to them? And they were kind of freaking out a little bit. Like, are they going to miss out on the new kingdom? Are they going to miss out on Jesus because they died and Jesus didn't come back yet? Because they were, like, expecting Jesus to come back very soon, just as every generation does, right? And they were expecting him. And Paul has to reassure them. He said, look, like, he says, we are not of those who grieve without hope. You know, a lot of people grieve and mourn lost loved ones, and they don't have any hope because they're like, I'm not going to see them again. But those of us who've given our lives to Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, we have this confidence that Paul said first, the dead in Christ, those who are dead will rise first. It's like when Jesus comes back, he's going to show that awesome power over death, and he's going to raise up those who are dead in Christ, and they're going to meet him, it says, in the air. Jesus says, just the way I left, I'm coming back. I'm coming back down to you all. And I'm going to bring my church with me. So the dead in Christ will rise first. And then us who are alive, we're going to be caught up in the air with him. So there's no fear in death, right? No fear in death, no fear in life, right? As the song says, no fear in death, no fear in life. So that's what we looked at, you know, and it's such an encouraging word to us. We mourn. As we talked about last week, we mourn. We look at a shooting like that, and especially if we knew people, right? We mourn. We're like, Lord, this is not the way it should be. People lost their life. What a tragedy. They were having fun. They were happy. And all of a sudden, they lose their life. And it brings us, and we should. And that's all over the Bible. People weep, and there's lamenting. Jesus wept over the death of his good friend Lazarus, Jesus himself, the pain of sin and death. And it's right to mourn. But at the same time, Paul says, We don't mourn like those who have no hope, though. We have a hope. We're gonna see each other again, right? You know, in some ways, we're all gonna. Death is just the transition, right? We're gonna see each other forever. We're gonna see each other in the new heavens and earth. Amen, amen. All right, we're gonna be together. We're gonna be clasping hands together again, hugging each other. It'd be so good to see you, and we're gonna be with each other. And so, you know, that's what Paul's saying here. Hey, we're going to see each other. Don't worry. Jesus is coming back. Now we turn to chapter 5. And yeah, now I was thinking about doing the whole verses 1 all the way through 11, which would make sense. But there's a lot to tackle, especially in the first three verses here. All right? So let's dive in. Let's dive in just to the first three this week. And we'll use some other scripture to kind of, again, think about the day of the Lord when Jesus comes back. So, hey, let's take a look, all right? All right. Just as Brother Can read here, let's start in verse 1. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, here's what's going on. Maybe, and we're not always sure of the situation, the church, remember, the church is just being established. This is mostly a Gentile church. They're not Jews. These are they're kind of outside of Jerusalem up north. And this is the first they've heard of this guy named Jesus, this story, and Paul's presented it to them. And you can read about that in the book of Acts. It talks about Paul going to this city of Thessalonica, preaching the gospel. But he brings the word of God to them, and a lot of them respond and say, yes, I need a Savior for my sins. What's the answer to death? And God gives them salvation. They put their faith in this man that Paul presented named Jesus, who lived for them perfectly, then died as a substitute, as a sacrifice for all their bad deeds. And then he rose again to guarantee them eternal life. It's an acceptable sacrifice to God on your behalf for your sins. And if they believe in him, as Jesus says, they're saved. And so they do. And Paul also said, Jesus is coming back again. And they know that because we looked at that last week. They know that Jesus will return to reclaim his earth, his church, his people, and to set up an everlasting kingdom of joy and peace and no more sin, no more evil. And they know that. Now, he's looking at verse 1 here. He's writing to them. Now, concerning the times and seasons, brothers, maybe they had... they had asked this question to Paul, maybe via Timothy. Timothy was Paul's sidekick who would travel to them or others. This word maybe got back to them. It'd be like our church. If let's say a pastor from outside the church comes here, and he's knowledgeable in a certain area, and we have questions we want to ask him. We write them down. Hey, let's ask so-and-so this question. And so he comes, and then we ask this question. Here, maybe it's the correspondence. It's a letter to him. Hey, Paul, how do we know when Jesus will come back? What will be the signs? What will be the seasons? How do we know when Jesus will come back? How do we know? How do we read the signs? How do we look and say, hey, I have an idea when Jesus is coming back? Is it a lot of earthquakes, a lot of fires, a lot of famines? Is it all this kind of stuff? How do we know? How do we know when Jesus is coming back? And this still happens today. This question is still asked today, right? When will Jesus come back? How do we know? In fact, remember just last month, there was this biblical numerologist. No, I don't even know what that is, numerologist. Thought he had found some code in the Bible. He could predict the coming of Jesus. And I think he said it was September 23rd of last month. It was September 23rd, came and went, and he was like, whoops, no, you guys misunderstood me. It's like in October. So I don't know when it is, but I guess we're waiting with suspense. No, we're not. Because you can't do that. You can't just, especially making some kind of code in the Bible, right? I'm going to find some weird code in the Bible, some kind of computer numbers underneath everything that will just, a system that will show and predict when certain events will happen. It's impossible, because Jesus said so. God said so. No man knows the hour, not even the Son, Jesus says. So we got to be careful with that kind of stuff. So you have this guy here, all right? So you have this guy, this numerologist doing this stuff, but we have to be careful. A lot of us will say the same thing. I think Jesus will come back very soon, because we're seeing all these events and disasters, and it just seems like Jesus will come back. We got to be careful about that as well. We have to be careful because, again, look at verse 2 now in our text. You yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. All right? You're not expecting it, right? It's something that will come suddenly and unexpected. Now, are there some signs that we can look at? Possibly, but you know, we just don't know. We don't know when Jesus will come back, when the end will be, all right? So go back to verse 1. Concerning the times and the seasons, that was a normal saying. Times, seasons, the way the life is, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. Paul has probably talked to them about this before. Jesus himself had told the apostles, no man knows the hour, not even the Son. Before Jesus died, even in his humanity, Jesus said he did not know the hour of his coming back, which is pretty wild, right? Because Jesus is both God and man. But he says, I don't know. I don't know when I'll come back. I don't know when the Father will send me back to reclaim my church. I don't know. He may know now, because he's on his throne now. I'm not even sure about that. I would think he does, but I'm not sure. I'm speculating. But at that time, he did not know, right? So you have no need to have anyone write to you. You have this teaching. Jesus said it. In fact, the Old Testament talks about the day of the Lord and the coming. Now, what does that mean, the day of the Lord? Well, it means Jesus coming back in judgment against the wicked, but also in gracious, loving salvation for his church, to be with his church forever. That's the day of the Lord. It's all over the Old Testament. Isaiah, Obadiah, Malachi, Isaiah, Joel. All these books, right, the day of the Lord is constantly used. You can read the Old Testament prophets. It's there. When will Jesus come back, right? And in the Old Testament as well, it was a common question. Acts chapter 1:7. Flash that. He said to them, it is not for you. This is what he tells his disciples before he goes back to heaven. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's almost like Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry, don't fixate on the end times. Has anybody ever known people who talk a lot about discerning the times and the seasons? Have you ever met people like that? And they've got like a whole chart, like maybe a poster on the wall, And they're like, I think Jesus is going to come back here, and this is why, blah, 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 blah. And they've got all, it's got all diagrammed out, where we know Jesus is going to come back here. Some people really get into that. And sometimes it's interesting and fascinating, because if you read Revelation, man, that's some crazy literature, like all about maybe the end times. You look at the book of Daniel, you look at this book, Thessalonians, you're like, wow. You're like, who's the Antichrist, who we'll talk about later? Who's the Antichrist, you know? You might be sitting in this room right now. No, hopefully not. But it's a joke, all right. We don't know, but like, who's the Antichrist? Has he come? Has he not come? Is he going to be a person? Is he going to be like a system of government? Like, who is it? Like, what? And so people really get into it. Now, we should know our Bibles and what the Bible says, but honestly, we don't know. We don't know all the details. The important point is we got to get busy serving the Lord. And as Cam prayed earlier, we got to get busy giving people Jesus and say, hey, Jesus is coming back sometime. We don't know when. But you might, this might be your last breath, right? You might die today. Like I said last week, I'm not guaranteed of my next breath. You're not guaranteed to have lunch today at Chinese Baptist Church. Sorry. I know you're looking forward to it, right? We don't know. Just as Jesus is coming back, our death is in that same category. We don't know. But things, are we ready? Are we ready? Our Savior says, come to me. Do not live in rebellion. Don't live in darkness of your own sins, your own selfishness. We have a holy God, and he's a perfect God. We cannot be in his presence. We cannot be in God's presence as unholy creatures. We can't be that way. We need Jesus. We need Jesus to cover our sins. He gives us his perfect righteousness. We can't stand before the Lord on our own because we're sinners before a holy God. We need Jesus' righteousness covering us. If we believe, we have to believe that he died for us. He paid for our sins, and we give our lives to him. We have to be ready today, right now, to meet Jesus. We got to give our lives to him. Don't put it off. We don't know the signs, right? Now, again, we look around. We look around at all the world, right? I mean, one on top of another. I just feel like recently. And then this happens. Las Vegas happens, right? And I'm like, man, what's going on? But in some ways, I have to pull back, right? And I have to say, why doesn't this happen more? I mean, that's a grace of God, too, amen? I mean, God can put his hands on things and say, no, I'm not going to have things happen here or here. Why doesn't this happen more? Because, again, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. We're sinners at our heart and core. We've got to understand that. We just want to sin. Thanks be to God for Christ who loves us so much. He wanted to save us still. But again, we have to give our lives to Christ. A thief in the night, verse 2. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. It's impossible. We can't predict. Be a pretty bad burglar, right? If he's just telling people when I'm gonna come and tonight, he's gonna write a little postcard to me in the mail. You know, tomorrow night I'm gonna jump through your window, you know. You know, like little black mask on and anything in the refrigerator. Let's see. That's the point of the thief in the knife, right? Thief in the knife. Thief in the, hopefully he's not carrying a knife, but thief in the night, right? That's the point. We don't know. We don't know when Jesus will come. And the point, like this dude who was this biblical numerologist, and they come along every few years, right? A few years ago, I remember it was like this, I don't know, 90-year-old guy in California or Oregon or somewhere where Can used to live. And he was like, I remember this a couple years ago. He was saying Jesus would come back exactly at this certain day. And it didn't happen. He's like, oh, I feel so bad. I was so wrong. And I'm like, did you read Scripture? I mean, Paul and the apostles tell you, don't follow these kind of people. Jesus himself said in Matthew, if you look at Matthew 24, which talks a lot about Jesus' own coming, in his own words, people will come and say, here's the Christ, there's the Christ, I'm the Christ. People will set, I'm like a Messiah figure. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. Listen to his word and who Jesus is, because you will be ensnared by them. I remember when I was growing up, like in high school, I think there was a group called Heaven's Gate. Anybody remember them? Some people? They you remember them? Late 90s? And there were a whole group of people, and they found them dead, all sleeping like bunks in beds. They all taken together like a poison or something, because they thought something like, they were going to a different portal, there's aliens, maybe something to do with Jesus. And they all thought like that was the time to go. And they killed themselves. Jim Jones, of course, the famous one. Jim Jones took a group to like, I don't know, Central America, South America. And they all drank cyanide or something. And he was like a cult leader. And Jesus says, don't follow those people. Don't follow them. They take you away from Christ and your scripture. Don't follow them. Don't listen to these people. Even closer to home, those who are maybe even Christians, but who really emphasize the end times, be careful. We know Jesus is coming back, but we can't set the time. We can't set that time. We don't know. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know, that first generation there, as soon as Jesus left, that first generation was expecting Jesus to come back in their lifetime. Now, were they mistaken? Did Jesus speak an untruth to them? Were they mistaken? No, because every generation is always supposed to keep that anticipation. We don't know when. And you're like, well, it's been so long. Maybe this promise isn't true. Maybe Jesus is not coming back. Because the first century, they expected him. Maybe Jesus is not coming back. That's what Satan wants you to think. Think about this. As we know from Scripture, Peter says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. It's not long for God. I mean, it's a blink of an eye, like 2,000 years. It's been a short time, very short time for God. Might be another few thousand years before Jesus returns. We hope he comes tomorrow, today, before lunch. I hope so, right? I want to see my Savior. I want all this pain to go away. I want to see my Savior who loves me and gave his life for me. But we don't know. We don't know. Here's one of the things, just applicationally. If you knew when Jesus would come back, if you knew, it could work a few different ways. One is that, honestly, you could slack off in your urgency, right? To share the gospel, to love people. Well, Jesus is coming back in 2 years. I'll start getting serious about my faith about a few weeks before he comes, right? You could see that, right? If you knew the day, you might do that. Some of you in here who do not believe in Jesus in the first place, you might say, well, I'll tarry a little bit. I'll just put off my decision whether to accept this guy Jesus as my Savior. I'll put it off. But again, you don't know when your death is. Then it's God says there's appointed for man to die once, and then there's the judgment. All right? You cannot do that. You can't live that way. Now, some of you might be like, oh, I'd be more urgent. If I knew Jesus was coming back, I'd be more urgent. Yeah, but we fight sin, even as Christians. I don't know, you know? You know, I think I read a short story when I was a kid. I can't remember the name of it. It was a guy who, like, wished he could be young again. He was an old dude, wished he could be young again. And he said, I wouldn't make the same mistakes, same sins that I did. He becomes a young man. He gets his wish granted by somebody, some wizard, right? But he thinks, the funny thing is, he keeps making the same mistakes. He sins in a different way, right? There's no guarantee. Because here's the thing. Sin is irrational. Sin itself is irrational. It's irrational. The point is, right now, Jesus, if we believe in God, Jesus says, I have given you a task. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's what we're supposed to do. Today, make disciples of each other. Tomorrow, do the same thing. Live for God's glory in every area of your life right now. We can be ready. We can be ready. And we're going to talk more about this next week, how to prepare ourselves. But we can be ready, living for God now, having urgency to our lives. Not a frantic, anxious, worried, you know, anxiety-based urgency, but I want to be bold. I don't want to just live for myself. I want to look upward, outward. I want to give my life to others. And my coworkers, my relatives, I want them to know Christ. I'm going to make time for them. I'm going to show them Jesus. And we got to do that today. Today is the day of salvation. As the Bible says, today is. Again, Jesus will come like a thief in the night. The funny thing, one commentator says this, thought it was really good. There's that analogy, a thief in the night, right? A thief in the night. It's unexpected. It's unexpected, right? It's a surprise, right? It's a surprise. If you knew when the thief would come, you'd be ready. And I think the bigger point is, for us, the analogy for Christians is, What did most of ours, hopefully when you left your home this morning, what do? You lock your doors. You have your, unless you're just like, I don't care. I got nothing to steal. How about, I don't know. That's to each his own, right? But if hopefully you lock your doors, you locked your door outside, because we live in a sinful world. In new heavens and earth, we don't have locks. You ever think about that? We don't need locks. No one's going to burst into our house. You lock your doors. There's a lot of people. How many people have an alarm system on their house? I don't either. Awesome. We trust in Almighty God. All right. Just kidding. No. There's a balance of preparations, right? We prepare. We get ready. And that's kind of the analogy for the Christian. It doesn't mean we're just sitting like frantically with a shotgun on our every night. We're just like, who's going to come through my door? Like, that's not the right analogy, right? The analogy is we just go about our lives and we take the right steps. Just like Christians, we want to be busy for the kingdom. We take the right steps. All right. So that's how Christians are ready. We know Jesus can come at any time. Let's look at Matthew 24 just a bit. Matthew 24 is a great passage on Jesus talking about from his own lips what the end will look like. And I'll just pull out a few verses. You can look more in depth at this passage. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. This is like what it means that Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night. It's like the days of Noah, verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware. They were unaware, completely unaware, until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. You know what's very eerie to me? Kind of almost like just dwelling on this passage. It's just the ordinary daily routine. The ordinariness of this all. It's not like people are sitting around like the apocalypse is coming. An asteroid's going to hit the earth. Everybody get ready. No one's doing that. They're just sitting there going on their normal lives. And then what happened? A flood comes. Now, the believers in God were ready. Noah and his family, right? Just like I hope we will be. We know that Jesus will come back at any time. So we're ready. We have the ark. We have Jesus protecting us. He's like our ark, right? We're okay, right? But the world is looking around and just living for themselves like normal the world does. And it's not necessarily like doing crazy things, but it's just they were swept away, right? And I think that's the scariness of this all. Don't be fooled by the ordinary, kind of the banal existence of life, like nothing's gonna happen. No. We gotta be careful about that, right? Let's go on to verse 40 of Matthew 24. again, the ordinariness, if that's a word, of their lives. That two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. All right? So again, here's people at their normal work. It's not, global warming hasn't flooded the earth yet, right? There's no apocalypse yet, right? It's just people are working. They're doing the normal thing. And Jesus, it's like Jesus, like, bam, I'm here. I'm coming back, right? Two men will be in the field. Now, I used to understand this. I have a different view on this. I used to think when I was younger, the guy who was taken was the guy who was a Christian. But I think in the context, actually, if you read Matthew 24, right, the ones who were taken in the flood were the evildoers. The one taken is the one taken to judgment. The one who's left for Jesus is the one who's still there. And that's how I believe that verse is now, today. I used to think it the other way around. But I think that's better fits into the context. And so God in judgment will take one to judgment. It's an analogy, right? And then verse 42. Look at verse 42 of Matthew chapter 24. This is what Jesus says. His very own words to the disciples, right? Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So we got to be ready. Don't be lazy in your Christian life. If you're resisting Jesus, come to him. He's good. He's loving. He's gracious. He will save your life from sin and death. and give you a new life now and make you more like Christ, living a life of joy for God. Stay awake. That's the analogy. That's the metaphor. Stay awake, because Jesus can come at any time. If the master knew, he would have been ready, right? That's why we buy, that's why it's like, again, another analogy. That's why we buy car insurance, right? Car insurance. I mean, hopefully you're not getting in an accident every day. That'd be a bad deal, right? Car accident, hopefully it's just very few in between. But you have that car insurance because you're like, one day it may happen, right? One day a hurricane might hit my house. I need insurance, right? That's why we get these things, but that's the analogy, right? Look at verse 3 now. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll finish this up. Verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, that's interesting. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. They will not escape. Now, here's something. The first analogy here, what Paul's making, the thief, all right, it's sudden and it's unexpected. It's very sudden, it's unexpected. The birth of a child, those labor pains, they're kind of unexpected, but a bigger thing is they're unavoidable. Those mommies who've birthed kids, Once those labor pains, those contractions start, I mean, there's no slowing it down. Once it's the final one, there's no slowing that down, unless they drug you like crazy or something. All right, there's no slowing that down. Funny confession. I have to do this. When Sadie was born, our second child, this is really bad. My wife is like, I'm not going to the hospital early. She started having her contractions. She's like, all right, I'm ready to go to the hospital. After all day, I remember it was a Saturday. After all day Saturday, she was like, all right, I'm ready to go in. I think I'm getting pretty painful. We get in the car. And then she's like, put the pedal on the metal. And I was like, we left a little late, all right? And so, you know, I'm driving real fast. And they got to the hospital, and they're like, you about had this baby. And I'm like, oh, I was sweating and stuff. And, you know, the husband's like, oh, my gosh. And, like, you know, she's, go faster. I'm like, oh, you know. I'm like, you waited so long. You didn't want to go to the hospital. Not a good time to get in the fight, right? You know, I was sweating, but like those labor pains come. It's unavoidable. It's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. That's what Paul's saying. Just as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, they will not escape. Like, praise the Lord, Sadie came, you know? But the analogy is Jesus is coming. He's coming in judgment, and it's unavoidable for all of us. Jesus will judge the living and the dead, the righteous and the unrighteous. Have you given your life to Christ and say, yeah, Lord, when I get before you on the throne, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the heaven. Come into my kingdom, your inheritance that I prepared for you. Now, I don't want to be one of those that when I get to heaven, when Jesus comes back, I stand before him and he says, depart from me. I don't know you. You doer of iniquity, of sin. I don't know you. Who are you? I want to be ready. I want to know Christ as Savior, right? Boom. It's going to happen, right? You know, in some sense, go back. Can you, Christy, flash up verse 3 again? You know, I think this is very interesting. Again, right now, some people are not saying peace and security because you see a lot of hurricanes, earthquakes, Mexico. You see North Korea. You know, it seems like this might not be the right time. I don't know. But here's the point. People are saying peace and security. It actually looks like possibly a good time. Maybe North Korea, that threat is gone. Maybe crime is down in the United States. I'm giving a metaphor here. I don't know what it'll look like. But let's say it's today. Maybe I haven't seen a tornado in a while. You know, I haven't seen natural disasters. Peace and security. Our president's so good. You know, our economy's so good. Everything's good. Everything's peachy. And then, boom. Pregnant. Here comes the labor pains, right? And it's unavoidable. What are we going to do? Now, again, the question is, will there be signs for the church to see? Possibly. And we're going to talk about it. We'll talk about the person of the Antichrist a little bit later. Possibly. But it's hard to tell. We've got to be ready any time, though. We've got to be ready any time. You know, in that time period, Thessalonica, the Roman Empire was amazing, right? They protected that whole middle of the earth right there. Their empire was vast, huge. Nothing's been like it in the world, right? That Roman Empire. And actually, what a lot of people said, in this city, I was doing my research, in Thessalonica, people were rejoicing over Rome because they were providing peace and security. So it would have been a strange message for the church to say, no, Jesus is coming back anytime. He would have been like, nah, come have a barbecue with me. Forget about that Jesus stuff, you know. That could have been happening in the city. And that city actually was very intolerant of the Christians. They hated them, and they're getting persecuted. That's part of the reason they may be asking the question, when will Jesus come back to relieve us of the suffering? And there's suffering going on in the world right now. We know all over the world they're suffering by the church. But peace and security, and then no, God's coming back at any time. He will call their number. He will call their number to account. Remember the biblical analogy of back in, is it Daniel? Or one of the king, when the king after Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, forget his name, but he was wining and dining with all his officials in his fellowship hall, right? He was having a big party, like, look how great we are. And then a giant, like, finger started writing on the wall. Remember the story? And they're all stopped. They're looking at this, like, what is it writing? And Daniel has to come and tell them what it means. And he says, your kingdom is going to fall tonight. And about a second later, they got sacked and taken over by the Persians. I mean, it was literally, they were having a good time, and then boom, they were at the walls, and they were sneaking into the city while they're having a party. There's an analogy there, right, for us to be ready. Remember World War II, Pearl Harbor, right? You know, the generals in the U.S. in the Army just golfing out in Hawaii, sipping their lemonade, and then all of a sudden they're like, what are those planes up in the sky? Had the big circle on it. The Japanese started bombing away. They had no idea. Zero. Things were good. And that's kind of like we have to realize, man, just because things are good doesn't mean it's good with your soul and God's. God can come at a time that we do not expect. We got to be ready for that. Now, what I've been saying, the sense of urgency we need for the church. What do we do? And here I think is the application here. We need to have a love for the lost. And this is, I'm preaching to myself, when I see my neighbors, my coworkers, we need to actually have a love for the lost. This is not just some theoretical thing that we do here each Sunday, right? You know, we always talk about have a love for the lost. But we need to make an effort to reach them with the gospel, even if they reject us, right? In your schools, guys, in your schools, your classmates, you know, your clubs, am I reaching my friends with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Pray for boldness, right? Because Jesus is real, and he's coming back at any time. We need to have a love for the lost. And I heard one pastor just say, right, if we don't have a love for the lost, it kind of deadens us. You know, it's just kind of, we get kind of fat and yucky. We got to have, and he said from the inside of us, a real love. I want to see these people in heaven. I want to see these people saved by Jesus Christ. They need to know, it's not good enough just for us to be like, oh, God saved me, wonderful, forget it. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like, oh, God's blessed me, thank you. I want to say, you need it, and you need the gospel, and you got to feel it in your gut, right? You got to say, hey, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Even, you might annoy me, but you need Jesus Christ, because we were all once outside of Christ, and I'm thankful that someone shared the gospel with me. And we got to have this zeal, because Jesus is coming back to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look what a famous old pastor says this, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says this, preached in the 1800s, wonderful guy. You can flash it up there, Christy, that quote from Charles Spurgeon. You don't have it? That's awesome. I'll read it. All right, Charles Spurgeon says this. He says this, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. And see, that's the kind of heart Spurgeon had. He said, if people are going to go to hell, let them go through our body. You're going to have to go through me to go to hell, because I'm going to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And do we love people? You're never going to share the gospel that well if you don't love people. You know, this is not some club we're at. This is not some abstract theology. This is real life. And there's a real hell. And there's a real heaven. God is holy, and he's real, and he's calling people to himself. We got to be serious about this, not lazy. We're going to be talking about that more next week. Don't be lazy in your walk with the Lord. Let's not be lazy. Thanks be to God that he did save us. Thank you, Lord. Let us share that good message with others. It's great news. Some of you in here don't know Christ as Savior. Would you pray to the Lord and just say, Lord, I need you. I need a Savior for my life. This life, if I'm just putting my worth in my material possessions, my fame, my success, my school, this stuff will rot and burn, all of it. So those things are okay in themselves. But if they're not for God and God doesn't know you, in the end, it's over. Eternity away from God in hell. Jesus says, I've come. This is the whole point Jesus came. He didn't die as an example because he was a nice dude or he was fighting against the government. He died because we're sinners and we're lost and we need a Savior. Would you give your life to him? He's full of grace and love and truth for you. For you. For Christians, let's be zealous in our lives to get the gospel to as many people as possible. Let's pray for strength and boldness to do that. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord,